Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Radio, it's We Will Worship starting up the afternoon for us. Very good afternoon to you. If you've just tuned in, happy, happy Monday. Yet another Monday, start of a brand new week. It was a very busy one for me, I must say. But anyway, we are starting an amazing one. And tuned in, I believe, from a different province this afternoon. It's Dr. Amanda Chifularu. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Luko. How do you do this wonderful morning?
I'm from KZN. It's afternoon, my friend. It cannot be morning. It's afternoon.
Oh, did I say morning? Wow.
Are you now imagining yourself somewhere in the States?
Yeah. I need to keep up with the time zones.
Yeah. How's the weather in KZN?
The weather is beautiful. It's a bit cloudy, though, but still relatively warm with a slight wind. I feel like one of those weather guys now. I want to give you the technical terms. And the breeze is like about 12 kilometers an hour.
Oh. Come on.
south and 1, 2, 3, 4. But yeah, my weather reporting just kind of ran out of steam.
I don't want to say it sucks. You might be quite an academic, but yeah, you must leave the other things to us.
I think so too.
Dr. Amanda, absolutely great to have you with me again this afternoon. Absolutely excited to be continuing this afternoon. We're still talking about self-reflection. Dr. Amanda, last week we began our discussion on values-based leadership, where we explored how leading with integrity and purpose shapes the way that we show up in the world. Yeah. Can you give us a quick recap of what we covered last week?
No, absolutely. We kicked off our conversation kind of reflecting on the fact that most people are said to be great leaders largely because maybe they're hitting the numbers, mm-hmm. Or they're delivering some results, or they're meeting their targets. And sometimes, not all the times, sometimes we make the numbers largely because, you know, the waves are carrying you along and there's the external factors that are just aligned to you. But overall, even though you're doing some great things, overall, we wanted to say it's not just about the external factors and the numbers and the targets and the chase, but we should be reflecting on how are we leading anchored on our values, and are we making decisions on a day-to-day that are aligned to our deeper, deeper sense of purpose and meaning? And if we aren't, maybe just on this Monday afternoon, it might just be an opportunity for us to reflect a little bit.
True. Now, you also introduced four key principles last week, four key principles of values, value-based leadership, that is. Can you remind us what they are?
Yeah, the first one was around self-reflection, and we spoke about a balance and true confidence and leading with true humility. And what we did is we wanted to, and we said we're going to unpack each of these things. We thought that we could unpack the first one and the first installment of our conversation. And I'm now realizing that for the first one, we probably need three or four installments. And because in that first one on reflection, we sort of reflected on whether or not Luko can give me a purpose statement. Mm-hmm. And I think she said resoundingly, maybe not yet. Yep. And we promised that Luko and our listeners will be able to craft a purpose statement that is anchored on deep reflection. We gave a template, if you remember, that you can write your purpose statement in this way: because I value XYZ, I will use my gifts of ABC to make a positive impact in this community, and I accept my fears of 1, 2, 3 to make a purpose-based commitment to doing the following. And what we did the last time is we just literally kind of spend the time on values, because that purpose template has got five elements to it. It's got your values, which is the core beliefs that define who you are as a leader. That's what we did last week. Two, strengths, which is the unique abilities and talents that you are given and you're gifted by God for free. And I would like to spend the rest of our time together this afternoon unpacking this strength piece. And we're going to turn this week's installment into strength-based leadership. And that's the conversation we want to have. And then the third piece is the community, which is around the people and the cause that you wake up every morning to go serve. And when we lose a sense of who am I actually doing this for, a lot of things starts to get in the way, and very quickly, mostly derailers. And we can go down that route. The fourth one is commitment, which is the disciplined actions that we need to kind of sort of carry out. And then the fifth element will be our fears. I imagine in our next conversation on Monday, we'll cover the last two. Hopefully, today we can cover the strength and the community.
True. Now, that was such a powerful conversation, I must say, and I'm really looking forward to diving deeper into strength-based leadership. Can you explain how recognizing and leveraging our strengths can lead to more impactful and effective leadership?
Excellent. I can do that. But I want to do that through a small game and Q&A, as we always do, Luso.
Okay.
And this is straight to you. Now, and some
let me
of
get
your
ready.
Listeners might excel.
Let me sit.
Are you ready?
Let me sit properly. I've got it.
Right. And so I'm going to be asking this to Luco, and I would love for our listeners to engage and kind of think deeply about the questions I'm asking.
Okay.
And if you can just reply, over time we'll maybe be able to do this live together. Now,
okay.
Luco, do you find yourself easily kind of striking up conversations with strangers, whether in an elevator, at an event, or at a grocery store?
I can,
but that's not necessarily you, right?
Yes, that's why I'm saying I can. I don't have a problem, but I'm not one to just randomly just jump in and chat you up.
Okay, good. Do you perhaps have a color-coded or otherwise organized closet or wardrobe?
Not color, but types of clothing
but
items.
Is it very well organized?
Yeah, quite.
Okay. Do you write down a list of things to do and stick to it even on the weekend?
No.
Okay. Do you need to pick someone to race while you're driving?
Do I?
Do you ever feel the urge to see someone drive past and you want to race them?
Not really. If you do me dirty on the road and you do something really weird, then I always catch myself doing that. But generally, I'm just one of those who's not under pressure on the road.
I see. And do you tend to ask too many questions just generally?
I do.
Aha. This is me now. Do you push the elevator button like a number of times to remind it that you are there and that you want to go up to the seventh floor?
I've done it. I don't think I do it anymore because I've found myself laughing at myself for actually doing it. So I try now and conscientize myself that you don't have to do this, Luko.
Okay, good. So now, Luko, what we've done, right, these different people and our listeners will have said yes and no and maybe to some of them, right? You know, typically you will have one or two that jumps at you and you go, that's me. There's one there that I want, that's me, but I don't want to admit to it.
Okay.
Okay, I will.
The elevator one.
Mine is like, you know, the wanting to compete, right? So when I used to run a lot of marathons and races, you know, I just see someone, I'm like, I'm going to go after them. And I will get injured largely because, you know, I will lose my pace and just kind of want to compete with everyone. But what these sort of reflect about us is the following, that we each have a pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving that is unique to each and every one of us.
True.
Some of us have got the natural ability to start conversations without any need for context. Some of us are just hardwired uniquely, a pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving that just makes us be a people that are more organized than others. Some of us are a lot more disciplined with the ability to put together a to-do list and stick to it. And it's the natural pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving. All of us have got a unique way in which we do what we do. Now,
Okay.
the folks in this strength world, they did research and they wanted to find out what makes a person successful. You know, the ultimate question around, you know, what are the things I must do to be successful? Do I need to be disciplined? Do I need to have a vision? Do I need to have that? And ultimately, they found that there wasn't one way that you can be to succeed. Some people are more organized and they succeed. Some people are not organized at all, but they still succeed. And so in this confusion of the data they found, they then traced this thing and they found that it seems that those that figure out this pattern of thinking and feeling and kind of run with it for themselves, those are the people that tend to succeed. So now, let me sort of say what this looks like. So these elements that we call, you know, your pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving, it's what in sort of a Gallup world, Gallup strength world, we call that a talent. And everyone has got their talent themes. I am, you know, you are hardwired to be a certain way. I'm hardwired for optimism. I'm hardwired for problem solving. I'm hardwired for a number of these things that sort of, you know, make up my personality, etc. Now, the people that succeed are the people that have figured out what these are for them, and they use those in order to achieve what they intend to achieve. Let me just pause there and sort of see if you want to kind of follow up before I continue on this theme.
No. But as you speak, I'm actually thinking of truly how different we are, like you were saying. But at the same time, we tend to get to the finish line.
Yes.
There's no one size fits all strategy.
Absolutely. Now, here's the I think you must do my line of work. So we do this work to help clients. What we do is, you know, we send you an assessment and you kind of complete, you answer a bunch of questions. Eventually you get, there is, in the Gallup world, there is about 34 talent themes that are there, you know, so empathy, learning and discipline and et cetera, et cetera. You've got all of these 34. Each person has got their top five that truly and uniquely define, you know, their natural pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving. Now, statistically, in South Africa, there is one person out of 33 million people that have the exact order of the top five, which means the way in which we all get to the finish line in South Africa, if we just apply blindly, there's only two people that are hardwired like Luko at the top five level.
Okay.
The tragedy is this. You are hardwired a certain way, and only two of you in the country are hardwired this way. Do you perhaps at least know how you are hardwired at a strength, talent theme, pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving? And if the answer is no, you know, that my heart bleeds. So do you know your top five talent theme from a strength perspective, Luko?
Do I? I'm not one of those people who can say, hey, this is my strength. I don't know.
And this purpose statement says, because of these values and using these talents and the gifts, so now we want to fill that portion of the talents
of
and the
talents.
Gifts.
What so, talents do you have?
Do you have? And you know, we kind of talk a lot about, you know, we must offer our talent, treasure, and our time. And what is said, though, is that our talents are hidden from us, and they're hidden in plain sight. And one of the things, you know, we'd like to encourage our listeners is to sort of say, you can reach out like very easily. By day after tomorrow, you know your top five talent themes.
Yeah.
We sort of guide you to say, hey, you are hardwired this way. Here's the problem. When you're at work or somewhere and they say these are your development goals, They will look at some things you do well and some things you do badly. And then they say, focus on these things that you do bad. But that never makes anyone great.
It doesn't,
the
exactly.
Truly great and successful people, they are people that are that are riding on their strength, on what is great for them. And I will, you know, if there was something I would like to do is kind of make sure every single person
knows
how they are gifted, and they know this as early as they can, so they fully understand what they bring to the table before other people try to sort of even say that, hey, look, maybe you do this well, maybe you do that well. You know, it might be great to kind of know those things.
And I think
you look
also,
like you're in deep thought.
I am, because as you're speaking, I'm thinking to myself, you know, sometimes you know what you're good at, but then you don't truly know if that is your strong point. You just go by the day, you know, executing whatever you need to do. It is only until somebody says to you, shucks, you're really good at this, then you're like, oh, maybe I am. I think, I don't know whether it's the imposter syndrome again, but I don't know if there's one thing that I really think I'm good at. Besides, I always say, I'm a relationship builder. I'm all about people. I'm all about developing people. That's just me. But I don't know anything outside of that. I really don't know anything. I'm just like, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, what could I really be good at?
No, but this is no longer, you know, if we were in the early 1900s, maybe this needs, you need to be scratching your head.
Yeah.
This is no longer a thing to worry, to like be going, wow, I wonder if the world is round or not. Yeah. Like, you can do an assessment today.
True.
You can get your report in the next 30 minutes. And then, you know, with a coach like myself, we can walk through your report.
Okay.
And we say, here is what you're great at.
Okay.
Because the problem is, if you took on a leadership role, and then your manager used to lead by kind of doing a lot of numbers and analysis, and you are a relationship builder, if you abandon that about you and you go follow the numbers and the analysis and the spreadsheet, this leadership thing is just feel painful.
Yeah,
but
true.
Your way of succeeding with leading is through relationship building.
Yeah.
And when someone succeeds you in the role, you know, they shouldn't copy and paste that relationship building, because that's you. You lead that way, you don't even feel like you're leading.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course, man. This is how leadership is supposed to be.
Yeah, that is so true. I thoroughly get that. No, but I'm glad. That's a challenge.
So the strength-based leadership, to sort of synthesize, is that it's about figuring out your talent theme. Now, the talent theme is just one of the ingredients. Your overall strength, which simply said is what you do consistently well, right? To sort of achieve what you want to do. So overall strength is, it's a combination of your talent theme plus some of the skills that you've learned how to do things and plus your knowledge. So when you put together what you know and some of the things that you've learned how to do plus how you are uniquely wired, if you put that together, we say you have a strength.
Okay.
Now, the knowledge, that's a commodity. Everyone has access to same knowledge. The skills, we can all kind of learn how to switch on a microphone and do this. What is unique, and there's only two people like Luko, is how you are hardwired to do this thing. And where people, I think, sort of ignore is their uniqueness. And my challenge on strength-based leadership, before we transition to the community, is let's find out what your strengths are. Reach out to anyone that can help you do any of these assessments, insights, Enneagram, you know, Gallup strength. We do all of them to kind of figure out truly what are your unique gifts and talent from a natural perspective. Obviously, there's other things that are more spiritual and what those talents and spiritual gifts, you know, they're conversation for another day, which we can pick up. So that's the piece on strength.
Wow. I'm actually like, I don't know why you took me to that place, because now I need to, maybe I must take that test with you and see what my strength is. Maybe.
I think you
So, so that when
must.
I
I think
recognize
my
it, I
team
don't
is
think it's
listening.
arrogant.
Maybe we'll just shoot you. We shoot through your an assessment your way, and then after the show, perhaps you can sit and do the assessment.
All right.
I'll be more than happy to unpack your report, because my goal in this, right, is that by the time maybe next week or week after, we should be able to complete your purpose statement.
Exactly.
Because of these are three core values for Luko.
Mm-hmm.
These are the top five strengths for Luko.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the community that you meant to say. Should we transition to community?
Yeah, definitely. Now, just a quick one. We've reflected on everyday habits that might reveal our natural strengths. But let's take it a step further. How can leaders systematically identify their strength in a way that helps them lead with clarity and impact?
Lovely. So so systematically, it's largely through that process we spoke about. We need to figure out your talent and your skills and your knowledge, and that gives us your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can map these out. And you go, I think my top strengths are these. Then we get some feedback from people. Hey, I'm working through trying to figure myself out a little bit more. I've figured out these are my strengths. How do you experience me? Before you know it, we lock in your top strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Once we do, you know, that becomes the thing you use everywhere. I'll give you a quick example.
Okay.
What's everyone's favorite New Year's resolution?
Jim?
But the real one is people want to lose weight.
Of course, right? yes. Okay, I get that.
Of some sort.
Yes, so then they go to gym.
Now, the question is, how do you craft a plan to successfully go and lose weight? Right. Now, some people will be like, okay, let me get a diet and let me follow it strictly every morning, every day, right?
Okay.
Some people will say, I'm going to join gym. And some people will say, I'm going to run a race. I'm going to do this and that. Now, we all know most of these things fall apart to a large extent. Right? There's other many reasons. But one of the main ones is we pick habits that are not entirely lined up to how we are naturally hardwired.
Okay.
So everyone has I'm going to repeat this. Everyone has a natural, unique pattern of thinking, feeling, and behaving, which is outlined in the report that we spoke about, which we will get you the report. Now, if you are hardwired for discipline, you know, I asked you the question earlier to say, do you keep a list of things to do now and even on the weekend? Some people will say resoundingly yes. Now, if that person wants to lose weight, you know, if they get a detailed diet,
mm-hmm.
they can follow it to the T. But if you give me, who is hardwired, a whole lot differently, then things don't go so well. Then you're hired for community and relationships. If we let you do exercises alone and we help you build a gym at home and we say, there, work alone, there's a good chance that you might not carry that through. But if we get you into a community where it's a group exercise and there's activities together, because that's already aligned to who you are, there's a good chance that you will follow through and do that.
That's
now,
so true.
Someone like me, very competitive, you want me to exercise, sign me up for a race or something that we're going to try and do something impossible. But don't like. So the reason, once you know it's like your superpower. Once you know how you're hardwired, you use that for everything, to advance your career, your leadership, to lose weight, to do all of these things. When someone says, hey, here's an idea for you, you kind of go, am I hardwired this way?
Yeah.
I know if I'm not, I'm going to try it for the first 3 months, it's going to follow.
So it pretty much becomes your yardstick for how you reason in anything and everything.
Absolutely, because it's how you're hardwired. The problem is we try to do things that are against our. So when we do these exercises, we ask you to write a sentence using your less dominant hand. For me, it's a left hand.
Oh, mine is right. I can't even write my name with my right hand. I can't even write my name with my right hand side. I don't even know how to hold that pen.
Is that your less dominant hand?
No, I'm left-handed. So my less dominant hand is my right hand.
So when you say, I'm going to join gym and do this and that, right, and ignore the things that are aligned to your pattern of thinking and feeling. Mm-hmm. You are saying, for my New Year's resolution, I'm going to be writing my name every day with my left hand.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that you will not follow through.
Yeah, true.
So it's important that everyone is super clear and knows how they are hardwired and how they, what's natural for them. And you use those natural abilities to literally address anything that you want to achieve.
Yeah, man, I'm absolutely loving this. See, Dr. Manda, we've spoken about strengths and how they help leaders achieve a balance. But leadership isn't just about personal success. It's also about impact, as we've spoken. How do leaders then use their strengths to serve their communities meaningfully?
Absolutely. So these values, the strengths, these are building blocks for us to lead well. But what's key is that we are it's about saving others. It's not just like, hey, I've got these strength and the skills, and then, you know, like I go around saying I am a prophet for the prophet's sake, or I am an orator, I'm this and that and that. If it's just like that, you know, it helps no one. But it's about, who are you meant to serve? And for this, we want to kind of chat a little bit about design thinking. Which is a concept really anchored largely and kind of get publicized and built upon by Tim Brown, and that provides a framework for us to kind of think about, you know, to think about the community we are meant to serve. So now you ask what design thinking is about. Really, it's a human-centered approach to solving problems that helps leaders engage deeply with the people that they serve. And this is leaders in spiritual communities, in business, etc., etc. And there's sort of, to a large extent, depending on who you ask, there's about four or five steps. But the first one, regardless of who you ask, is that design thinking starts with empathy. Empathy for the people you are solving for.
True.
It's about listening beyond the words of the people you're engaging with. It's about kind of spending time kind of observing their real experiences, immersing yourself in their midst. And then only then could you think about, you know, how you want to serve them. For instance, if you lead a youth community of some sort, whether a church or an NGO, etc., the question is, how deeply have you engaged yourself in their world, figure out what their challenges are, and done it like rigorously, stay and walk in their shoes before you start crafting a song for them or writing a book for them or even putting together a sermon for them.
So you've got to understand their story. I think we find over time
institutions with our church. Sorry?
So in essence, you're saying you've got to understand their story.
Yes. Over time, organizations, big and small, they tend to be in inward focus, right? So we'll use a church as an example, where it very quickly becomes more about, so which three songs are we going to sing? Which program are we going to run? And the first question is, that before you launch a program, for who? Where are they at? What's their struggles? Have you been to where they live? Have you walked a journey with them? And there's many tools to do this, by the way, to really kind of deepen your empathy. And when we move away to becoming more and more internal as an organization and as a leadership team, before you know it, we lose touch with the people we're meant to serve. And then we keep drumming the same drum, and yet nothing happens in society. My big fear is that we have more and more organizations, and we are seeing less and less impact because organizations are turning mostly inward.
Yo, that hit hard. Now, this has been such a rich conversation, Dr. Manda, I must say, in understanding our strengths, using them to serve others, and leading with empathy. But leadership isn't just about individual effort. It's about transformation. So how can leaders go beyond simply leading to truly empowering and impacting their communities?
A good question. One of the people who impacted me in my younger days, I mean, high school days was John Maxwell. And he's got such powerful quotes that maybe we will help us kind of close this. One is, John Maxwell says the bottom line leadership is isn't how far we advance ourselves, but it's how far we advance others. And I just wonder, our leaders listening to us today, are we measuring our leadership impact by how far we've gone up the ranks? I used to be here and now I am head of. I used to be a call center. Now I'm a manager. So it's very easy to start to measure our leadership impact by how we've advanced ourselves. And what John C. Maxwell is sort of saying is, hey, can we sort of turn this thing away from us again and kind of go, how are we advancing others? How are we uplifting others and not necessarily ourselves? And this is the whole conversation on servant leadership, that it gets spoken of, but usually it can sort of gets put away if it were. So now this idea of figuring out your values, your strength, and the community you're meant to serve is sort of saying, how do I maximize my service of others? Not only to advance my own career. And you'll be surprised even in the volunteer work where people said, I used to volunteer and now I'm the head of the group. And then that's just become a thing you upload even on your CV. The tendency or the temptation to make leadership about self-advancement is very high. And when we coach people, oftentimes, you kind of say, hey, what do you want to achieve? In the very first 3 minutes, if you ask, listen very closely, you realize most of it is I want to advance me. And this conversation is sort of saying, hey, how could we? No, and it's covered in different layers, right? I'm a high potential, and I would like to get to the next management level, or I feel here, but I want to. And the orientation, when you boil it down, it's largely about how do I advance me? And my challenge for us today is how do we advance others?
Dr. Amanda, I want us to continue with this, definitely. But can we hold it here for this week and we continue next week?
Yes, and next week we might actually unpack your results on the show.
Oh, okay. I'm on for that. I'll text you definitely. Lastly, how do you reach out to you, Dr. Manda?
My email address is mandat@superlead.co.za, or you can call our office at 078-020-0051. And then someone will attend to you if you want to figure out your strengths. I just wish everyone can know how God has uniquely and naturally hardwired them to think, feel, and behave, and kind of use that as their launch pad for their superpower and align all their activities and their goals and their habits along those lines and make life 700 times easier to achieve all that God has for you.
Dr. Amanda, thank you so much. We'll catch up again next week, same time, same place. God bless and have a great week ahead.
Absolutely. Lovely. Have a fantastic one.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.